Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Brian Sivak, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So you mentioned, we talked about the culture, transforming the culture, and we also talked about the importance of collaboration and innovation. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, sort of delve into the collaboration aspect. What tools and platforms are you folks exploiting and exploring to actually create a culture of collaboration within your department?
So I would actually rephrase that question a little bit, right? It's not that we are using tools to create a culture, right? We're trying to create a culture that can leverage tools.
Okay.
And that sort of gets back to my earlier point about how technology is not really a solution to problems, but it can be an enabler. The collaboration platform that we set up is a platform called Yammer. Many people have heard of it. And we chose it really because it was relatively easy for us to choose. We already had a contract with them through NIH, and they had sort of procured it in such a way that we could roll it out across the department if we wanted to. So it was a sort of easy and natural choice for us to make. What's been interesting about it is, you know, it's not enough to just say, here, hey, we've got this tool, use it, right? It has to be, first of all, valuable for people. Secondly, it has to become part of their sort of day-to-day workflow. And so we've been experimenting with different ways to sort of create engagement and adoption of the platform. So an example, we had a theory that if there was a department-wide event or moment in time that was relevant and interesting enough for a discussion to happen across the department, then this could be a great way to have that discussion. And so it just so happened a few months ago, we were at the end of open enrollment for the federal health benefits plan, which obviously touches everybody in the department. And so we thought, hey, let's get the benefits experts to do a Yammer town hall, right? Or I think they call it a Yam Jam, to see if we can get people, you know, engaged in using the platform and to you know, use this as an example of how it can be valuable. And so we set this up. We got a couple of benefits experts to participate in this thing. You know, a lot of them were skeptical, but we found a couple that were really interested in this. And we marketed it. What was interesting is that we usually get, I would say on average, probably 60 or 70 new people signing up a day for this thing because, you know, people, they tell their friends and, you know, they get people on board. We announced that we were going to do this town hall. Right the day after we announced it, we had 744 people sign up. The next day, we had about 600 people sign up. And then we had the town hall, and it was fascinating to watch because, first of all, there were a ton of people participating in the discussion. Lots of people had questions about health plans and how it works and all kinds of stuff. So the benefits experts, those two that we had recruited to this effort, quickly got overwhelmed. But what was neat was that their colleagues actually jumped on and started answering questions. But what was even neater was that other people, random people across the department, started answering other people's questions. Right. So, for example, somebody posted a question about the quality of the docs in a certain specialty in a specific plan or something. You know, I think it was a Kaiser plan that they were looking at. And somebody wrote back and said, hey, I have Kaiser. It's been great. You know, I have this experience and that experience. And so it was just amazing. And, yeah. And these people had never met each other. They had no idea who they were. Right. But now we're able to allow them to collaborate and work together on a specific problem because we have this thing in place. So we're undertaking a bunch of different experiments like that to see if there are different things that we can do that will increase both adoption and engagement.
So, you know, part of that, you mentioned stakeholder input. Mm-hmm. How are you in your role throughout the department gauging that, taking some of their insights in and transforming the way either you do business or the way things are done in the department?
And that's another good question. So one thing I think that we do need to think about is better feedback mechanisms. You know, we have some standard stuff in place around commenting on regulations and commenting on legislation and things like that. But I think we need, you know, better feedback loops. Now, we are a little this is where it gets tricky with some of the regulations and laws that actually exist because it turns out we can't actually solicit feedback from people. In groups larger than nine, you know, there are a bunch of weird rules out there. And I guess I understand why the, you know, this is the Paperwork Reduction Act, the PRA. I guess I understand why what the impetus was for the development of the PRA, but in the world we live in today, where we actually could get useful and valuable information from people out there, it makes a lot less sense. And so, you know, we need to think about ways of changing some of these laws so that we can actually affect better feedback mechanisms. I literally can't put a web survey out there that goes to more than 10 people without going through this very long and onerous process to get things approved. And so, you know, we're working to figure out how we can change stuff like that because, you know, we have to – one of the things we have to do in government is recognize that the world moves quickly, right? And especially when it comes to technology enabling communication and collaboration and input and all of this kind of stuff. And we are a representative democracy, so we should value all of those things. We have to figure out ways of moving a little bit faster when it comes to actually doing that. And so I think this is a key kind of component to, again, this culture change, right? I don't think it would hurt to experiment. Again, it's this word experiment, right? We don't necessarily have to put all of our chips into one bucket, right? Like we can make little bets and we can say, you know, hey, let's give this a shot and see if it works. And if it doesn't, let's figure out why it didn't and fold that back into the next iteration of our experiments. And I think there's a million different things that we can do around these areas that would actually prove the point.
A wonderful portfolio management approach in a sense. You have a portfolio of some winners, some losers. And
exactly.
So, Brian, given your background and your current role, I'd like to talk a little bit about big data, the phenomenon of big data. What is HHS doing to tackle this challenge? And what are some of the steps being taken to better manage and store and collect data?
So I have this thing about technology buzzwords. I have this theory that once my mother has heard of a term, it's sort of jumped the shark a little bit, right? The first one was cloud. Now I would say we're sort of in that phase with big data. It's another one of those terms that doesn't really mean a whole lot. I think it's the buzzword du jour. There are different ways of thinking about it. So, you know, at NIH, just as an example, they're about to embark on a project, as we've all heard, to map the human brain. Mm-hmm. When you look at the amount of data that that project is going to have to both collect and store and analyze, I mean, it's mind-blowing, right? And so you could throw that into the big data bucket, no doubt. And, you know, they're going to have to develop new technologies in order to figure out how to do that stuff, which I think is one of the key goals of the program. The genomic data that they maintain, or that we actually in a bunch of different places maintains, that's, you know, again, different type of data, you know, doesn't change as quickly. It's not necessarily as real time, but does require, you know, lots of storage and lots of processing capabilities. And so, you know, that's another thing that we're working on. Across the department, you know, we have lots of sets of data that we need to think about and need to look at. And, you know, there's lots of different efforts that we're undertaking. I would say the cutting edge stuff that's happening right now is really in NIH, because they do have the biggest problems when it comes to, you know, how to deal with a sort of onslaught of rapidly changing, massively generated sets of data. So, you know, I think you need to look at it on a case-by-case basis, really, to answer that question in the right way.
What does the future hold for technology and innovation at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services? We will ask its Chief Technology Officer, Brian Sivak, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.